When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Three games, three wins, and 9 points since the resumption of the season. After the first international break, as Neil Lennon's team have recovered from the disappointment of their Champions League exit to Ferencvaros to build some real momentum in the title race, and they also now have their sights set on reaching the group stages of the Europa League. So, this week on the Record podcast, we'll have a look at how things are shaping up for the champions, how the new signings are settling into the team, the transfer window, and we'll also look at what lies in store in the immediate future on and off the pitch. Now, Neil Lennon has switched back in recent games to his favoured 3-5-2 formation. So, given this is the Celtic podcast, we've also decided to go with two up. Only we've given the squad a bit of a tweak. Henrik Larsson did turn 49 on Sunday, so with age a slight concern to the management team, we've decided to go with the younger legs of Michael Gannon to play alongside Chris Sutton in attack.
So it's not so much a little and large front two, more of a sort of large and wide, but there's a potential in this pairing. So, boys, are you up for it?
That's a bit harsh, Chris.
Well, I was told Henrik was coming on, but I'm slightly underwhelmed as you, Mick, if I'm honest.
I don't actually blame you, Chris.
No, you're an able replacement, Mick.
Not as mobile, fell a hole, that's for sure.
Good. So, all good. All good, everybody. Enjoying the football? Are you still getting to grips with the behind-closed-door stuff? Or is it getting a bit more acclimatised to it now, boys?
Go on, Mick. What do you think, Mick?
It's football, but not as we know it. I mean, without the fans, it's not the same. I don't think anyone can pretend that it's any great shakes without any supporters there. But at least it's football. At least we're getting games on. And the season's now starting to take a wee bit of shape now, isn't it? We've got the first seven games out the way, and you can start to see things starting to take shape. And it's like a real title race starting to shape up already. So it's been good seeing football. We want the fans back in, obviously, but it's just great to get games on after that kind of long hiatus. Hopefully we can get some punters back in soon, but it's not looking too good, is it?
I mean, I'd agree with all that, what Mick says. We need the fans back in the stadiums. And I suppose the worry is now north and south of the border. There seems to be like there's going to be heavier restrictions in all walks of life. And certainly it looks like football's going to be affected again. And the hope of getting fans back into the stadiums, that seems to be a long way off now again. So, that may have a knock-on effect in terms of clubs folding. So that's one to really keep a close eye on.
Chris, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. No one knows. We're at the mercy of the government and the virus. Well, fans, we think, is probably unlikely for a while yet. Do you have any concerns over the game or in terms of the games being played, or do you feel that with the rigorous testing regimes that the games will still be able to go ahead?
In the column at the weekend talked about this UEFA ruling of 13. I think the clubs need to make a pact that if there are 13 fit players, then they need to play the games. I think that it's really, really, really important for the Scottish game that it doesn't shut down again. So I think that we'd all be in agreement that clubs are going to be affected by COVID, as they have been already. But to keep the season going, I think once the games are stopped once, that could have a big knock-on effect further down the line. And, there's not going to be any other time to get the fixtures fulfilled if we're not really careful with that.
Well, Michael, mercifully, apart from Bolly's jolly, the games have gone ahead okay for Celtic. And since the international break, or the first international break, it's been 3 games, 9 points, 10 goals. The gap at the top of the table between Celtic and Rangers, Celtic have managed to cut it from 6 points to 1 point. Yeah, not everybody seems to be completely overwhelmed and excited about this. There seems to be still be a little bit of grumbling. Can you understand that from any of the fans? It seems a bit odd to me, but how do you assess how the last three games have gone?
Listen, it's the huge expectation levels at Celtic. I mean, the Celtic fans have been a wee bit kind of spoiled in the last kind of 8-9 years, to be honest. So they do expect a high standard. But listen, it's just putting in perspective. I mean, Celtic have got the set for seven games, have got the same amount of points as they had in the Invincible season, and their joint highest total in the whole 9-in-a-row run. So they're actually, in terms of points and goals and all that stuff, they're just exactly where they are usually, if not better than usual. And I think the more ominous thing for everybody else in the league is that Celtic haven't really played their best stuff yet. They've not hit top gear. I mean, Scott Brown admitted it in today's paper. He said that they haven't hit top gear yet, so there's more to come. So they've got 19 points out of whatever it is, 21, having not played particularly well yet. So I think there's more gears to shift up. I still think Neil Lennon doesn't quite know his best formation and kind of lineup. I'm still not convinced completely how to get all the best players on the park at the same time. I don't think Neil Lennon is either. Defensively, I still think there's a weakness as well. They're maybe getting to grips with a new system. They're losing too many goals. You can't win 3-2 every week or scrape. They're giving away goals in the first 5 minutes every week, which they are doing at the moment. But they're getting results, and that's what they do. Celtic know how to win games, even they aren't playing that great, because they've got players that can punish teams, and they've got guys that know how to see it out. So they're doing okay just now, but I think there's more to come.
The notion that Mick suggested there was maybe that the manager was not quite sure exactly about the best team and exactly how to get everybody on the pitch. Would you agree with that? Or do you feel at this stage of the season it's been a case of trying to get games into people? There's been a lot of mixing and matching. It's going to be a long season. Everyone had spoken long and loud before the ball was kicked this season about how it's a different campaign and games are going to be crammed in and you're going to need a big squad. You're going to need to use them. I mean, I think Neil must have used maybe 20 players in the three games, maybe more than that. Do you think it's just a case of getting people up to speed and he's managed it quite well to get game time into players and also keep the results coming?
Yeah, I think there's a few things to touch on. I still think that there's a lot of anger over getting knocked out of the Champions League, which I think that we all understand. And there's been a bit of a hangover over that. I think there's, you know, maybe still a bit of surprise about, you know, Neil's reaction after the game and calling some of his players out, which was unlike him. I understand what some supporters are talking about when they're talking about performance levels, but I agree with Mick on this. It's actually a good sign that Celtic are winning when they're not at their best. I think it's a really good sign. And there is an argument to say that Neil has chopped and changed too much, and he will certainly be aware of the need for the performance level to go up, and also the importance of continuity. If you play with the same players week in and week out, then I think that naturally the performance level improves. But at this moment in time, he's, you know, juggling. Maybe he's still striving to find his best starting 11. There's competition for places, but the bottom line is Celtic are going through, I'm not saying a tough time at the moment, but they're, you know, performance levels haven't been there and they are winning games. If I was in that Celtic dressing room at this moment in time, I would think that that is a really good thing. And the other thing off the back of that is the players will be aware that they're not performing at the level which they are capable of, really capable of. So there will be a determination in that dressing room to hit those heights. And if Celtic do hit those heights, then you have to say that that Rangers will be in a bit of trouble. But Celtic have to get there. You know, everybody looks across the city, and because Rangers broke the record for the best, most number of clean sheets or most minutes or whatever, and you have to say that's really, you know, it's a decent record to break, but it's not a trophy. And the bottom line is, you know, with that situation, is Rangers have now dropped more points, against Hibs, and Celtic are in a position where if they win the game in hand, that they are top of the league. But everything seems pretty harmonious across the city at Rangers. I just go back to something I said, I think last year, maybe the year before. Celtic fans shouldn't get bored of winning They shouldn't take winning for granted. And I do think that there's an element of that at this moment in time. Things aren't perfect, but Neil Lennon at this moment in time is damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, really. But it, you know, he'll be certainly aware of the situation, and he'll be desperate for the performances to be slicker on the pitch.
Michael, the international break did get sort of break up the momentum of the games, but Chris touched on the Neil's outburst after the Ferencváros game, when he called out the players. You guys were both on the podcast after that. You both spoke about the potential reaction. You know, if he's aiming for a reaction, let's see how it comes. Four games, four wins, 13 goals. Would you say he's got the reaction that he was looking for, Michael? And can I also ask, you know, who are the guys who are standing out for you at the moment, and where are particular areas? Is there certain individuals that are standing out for you at the moment, and certain ones who are underperforming?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have got the reaction. I think they kind of steadied the ship, because after a European game, like you say, there's a big outcry, massive reaction. Fans are so disappointed. It's a kind of a catastrophe for a week or so. But they have kind of steadied the ship, and have got the results in the bag to put the kind of pressure back on at the top of the table. But I do think there's areas that are still a concern. I think they haven't really played anyone yet. I mean, I know Chris is talking about the kind of Rangers run, but I think they've had a slightly tougher start to the season. They've played Hibs, played Aberdeen, played in United. Certainly haven't played these teams yet on each other. So I think they're kind of a fairly gentle run of fixtures.
I think Rangers have had more home games. Have Rangers had more home games, Mick?
Well, they went to Petardie and Easter Road. So that's the two prime away ones. I know there's no fans, so it's not quite the same, but they've had the two of the more difficult trips away from home. Certainly been to Killy.
Is that not a difficult trip, Killy? Rangers have been to Livingston, who aren't doing well.
So Celtic went in on drop points as well, and Celtic drop points at Kilmarnock. I just think Rangers have had a slightly more difficult, slightly more tricky tests so far. And I think Celtic have had a fairly gentle run of games recently. It's going to get tougher, and I think there is defensively. I think they can't keep getting away with losing daft goals. So that's something they need to be wary of. Also, how do they fit in guys like Mohamed El Anoussi into the team? I don't think this new formation quite suits his game, so that's another kind of conundrum. But you look at guys like Callum McGregor, his levels, and people were even kind of commenting about his levels at El in the season, but he's really picked up, and he's back to kind of where he usually is. I think Shane Duffy's come in, looked the part right away, scored a couple of goals, a couple of wee daft moments as well, but I think he's less lack of games. I think the more he plays, the better he'll get. Slight concerns about Odson Edouard. Saying he was a bit tired at the weekend, that's an alarm bell for me. I mean, he's not played that much football. I mean, I know he played for France a couple of times after coming back from an injury, but missed a couple of games through an injury. So maybe he's still carrying a little niggle somewhere, I don't know. But that's a bit of a concern, that kind of...
Just playing devil's advocate here, would Neil not have rested him with the games coming up? The importance of the Europa tie this week.
They're playing against Riga, Chris. It's not Lazio, or it's not Easter.
Hang on a minute. They were playing against Ferencváros the other week when everybody thought they'd be in strong.
I better say than Riga, that's for sure.
But it's still a dangerous tie, isn't it? Away from home.
It is, but every game's dangerous in a title. I don't know. Well, Chris.
Well there you go. That's why he's kept him fresh, isn't it? Would that not be? Neil's argument, it surprised me, I have to say, at the weekend.
Chris, one of your teammates said he was too tired to play a league game after about six games of the season. What would you say?
He's just had a thigh injury, hasn't he? So maybe that's your job, to make a call, and that's my job to make a call. All I'm saying is if he's had a thigh injury, we don't know the conversations which have been held.
We can only take managers at face value. He said he asked him, he said he felt a bit tired.
Well, there you go. So if he felt a bit tired, then he's resting his star man for the games coming up, isn't
he? He never played for 5 months. Chris, we're going back 6-7 weeks. He's a bit tired.
Let's cut to the chase here then, guys. Is there a feeling that with 2 weeks of this transfer window to go, there is still a big danger that Odson Edouard might go? And there's more to this than meets the eye?
Well, I think that's the thing.
I'm putting you on the spot, Chris, when you go.
I still stand by what I've said all along. Celtic cannot let Odson Edouard go. The situation is plain and simple. With what's at stake this season, they cannot let him go, even if he wants to go. And I don't know whether he does or he doesn't. And, you know, in some respects, I agree with Mick. It was a surprise that at the weekend he wasn't playing, but there may have been a reason behind that. But I'll take you back to this point. If Celtic let Odson Edouard go and then do not win the 10, that will be unforgivable on Celtic's part. And it's okay to say, well, he wants away, this, that and the other. But he is under contract and he seems to be a decent character. He seems to have always had a good attitude. So, you know, if he wants to go, Celtic shouldn't let him go and they should make him get on with it, win the 10, and then they can let him go after that. This is history on the line here. You can't, what would be the point of that? Celtic actually, at this moment in time, they actually need to strengthen in certain areas. They cannot let the best players go because Ayeti has looked sharp.
At I was going to ask you that.
He's looking sharper.
Question.
Right, but Ayeti is not Odson Edouard.
Do you not think Celtic can win the title without Odson Edouard?
Do I think they can win the title without Odson Edouard?
Celtic could win the title without Odson Edouard.
Are you saying they have a better chance of winning the title if Odson Edouard leaves?
No, I'm not saying that.
But it's a totally different argument, that, isn't it? So all I'm saying is if they let Odson Edouard go, the chances of winning the title would diminish drastically, in my opinion. That's how good he is. He's a game changer. And he hasn't really got started this season yet. So just imagine when he does get started.
Are we being blinded a bit by the domestic season at hand? You're saying history, things like that, Chris. This has been a very difficult time for football, hugely difficult time for all clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely difficult. Money has been outlaid in the transfer market to bring in 4 or 5 new players. There's an opportunity here to make up a shortfall on Odson Edouard. They could clear everything in one go. They missed the Champions League money as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there not any inkling as to why it might be a good idea?
I don't think Celtic will have much say, to be honest with you. I think a big money bid for Edouard, I think that's the way it goes. I don't, the way the modern football is, if a 30, £35 million bid comes in for Edouard to give him £90,000 a week in England or whatever, he's gone. I think the 10 in a row is to the players themselves. I think if Brendan Rodgers can jump ship in February of a season, if Kieran Tierney can leave after 8 in a row.
Totally different, Brendan Rodgers jumping ship. Totally different, Kieran Tierney. Odson Edouard is Celtic striker. He's their main striker. He is so important to the team. And I don't care what you say. The club actually owe the fans on this one. Yeah.
What could they do? If Odson Edouard
is he under contract?
Yeah, but what does that matter these days, Chris?
Well, of course it matters because players sign up for a contract, and then clubs are in a situation where they made. Well, look what's happened with Messi, Barcelona. He's at the state of Barcelona. I know it's a slightly different situation with a contract wrangle or whether there was a clause, whether there wasn't a clause. But he's staying. He's not sulking.
So it works both ways. Players sign a contract so that the clubs have got an insurance policy. So when the bid comes in for big money, they can get money for them. It works both ways.
Would that not be a slap in the face for the supporters who have paid their hard-earned money for years and years and years, ploughed tens of thousands, millions of pounds into the football club to get to this stage, to support the club through thick and thin, through the difficult times in the 90s. The hardcore supporters were still turning up when Rangers were dominating. Celtic had turned it round at the start of the noughties. A good tussle with Rangers. And then to get to this situation where, I don't care what you say about history, it is so, so important. And they are, it's in touching distance. So therefore, for the club to sell their star player at this moment in time, imagine the Rangers dressing room Celtic sell Odson Edouard.
I get that, but if Odson Edouard's offered £100,000 a week, he's got all the power because he can't.
He doesn't have all the power because he's under contract. Has he got a clause in his contract?
So had Moussa Dembele.
Dembele's was a different situation because Dembele, I think, had been. Hang on a minute. Dembele was a different situation because of a chat, I think, between himself and Brendan Rodgers, wasn't there? Or, you know, there was an agreement, wasn't there? That was the Dembele situation. How do we know that that's the same situation with Odson Edouard? I've not heard of any agreement.
Is there not a general agreement, Chris, and something that you've touched upon in the past, that you know Celtic get these young players to develop, polish up, to sell on? Odson Edouard's been at Celtic for over 3 years now.
Yeah.
Counting his loan period.
Yeah. And
would they not be entitled to think it's time? Listen, none of us are, make it clear, none of us in this podcast are suggesting that Odson Edouard is desperate to go or wants to go. We're just talking about the fact that if a huge bid was to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go on.
You have to marry everything together and look at the importance of where Celtic are and what they are and what this football team is on the brink of doing. And also you have to bring the supporters into the equation with this. And at this moment in time, if there isn't an agreement with Odson Edouard, which I'm not aware there was, you know, there's an agreement that he can move on. I'm not aware of conversations which have taken place. I'm not aware that there's a clause in this contract. I may be completely wrong about all these things, but Celtic should be doing their utmost to keep him. So if there is an offer which comes in of £25 million, at this moment in time, Celtic should, without a doubt, turn it down, because what is at stake? Because they owe the supporters that one. It's not. We understand that Celtic is a selling club, but in this instance, it's not all about money. It's about support. It's about showing loyalty to the support from the top of the club.
Michael, Chris's opinion on this one is, and a lot of people's opinion on this one is, that this is a kind of one-off season just because of what's at stake domestically. Is it fair enough to park the model for a season, regardless of what the offer are as they come in? Celtic have been very steadfast with anybody who's been spoken about that they don't want to sell them. Fair enough to be just as a one-off and take the financial hit and go for that?
I think Celtic, in fairness, will be as strong as they possibly can be. And I think they'll all say, no one, we're not selling any key men this season, because it's so important. I think it's been building up for so long to this season. I don't think they will roll over and let players go without a massive fight. I just think that players got so much power these days. And I think, I mean, for example, what happens if in the last week of the deadline in October, what if Jose Mourinho and Spurs say there's £35 million for Odson Edouard, £100,000 a week? What happens then? I think most Celtic fans would realise there's not a lot you can do at that point in time. All you can hope is there's a contingency plan.
Come on, Mick. That is everything which is wrong about football with what's at stake this season for Celtic. Can't he put it off for a few months? I mean, that's all Celtic fans are asking.
But you know how players think. They might think, I've broken legs.
So you're basically saying then contracts count for nothing.
Therefore,
therefore players shouldn't have contracts then, Mick?
No, the contracts are insurance policies for the player and for the clubs.
But they mean something because unless there are clauses in the contract, the player has to adhere to that contract.
I don't think it's quite as black and white as that, Chris.
I'm afraid in this situation it is, isn't it? It's just
the facts of life. That's just the way it is, isn't it?
David Turnbull signed a new contract at Motherwell to ensure Motherwell were financially recompensed when he was eventually going to move on.
I understand that.
That was widely recognised by everyone. That happens. I'm not saying it's got anything to do with the Odson Edouard thing. I'm just saying the contract situation is not quite right, is it?
And in any other season, next season, do you know what? I couldn't care less whether Odson Edouard stays or goes next season. You know, if I was a Celtic supporter, I would say, you know, it's all about this season. It's about breaking history, and then he could go with everybody's blessing. That's just common sense. That makes sense.
That's a perfect scenario for everyone.
I don't disagree with you, Chris. I just think that the players have got so much power that it makes it so difficult for clubs.
But they don't have so much power because when a player signs a contract, there's a length to the contract. So he goes into that agreement knowing how long the contract is, the club knows. There's always situations where the club can overrule the player, and then it comes down to the player whether he wants to sulk. A player cannot just walk out if he wants.
If Austin Edwards stays the length of his contract, Celtic's model collapses.
But nobody's asking him to stay the length of his contract. They're just asking him to stay for the rest of the season.
So Austin Edwards doesn't want to leave this year, right? Say next year they win 10 in a row, Edwards scores 25 goals, he's hot property, but he loves staying in Glasgow and doesn't want to go. What happens then?
You're talking about a situation which is highly unlikely to arise. What's more important, Mick? What message does that send out to the fans? Is it all about the money? If I was a Celtic fan and they sold Odson Edward, I'd rip my season ticket up because there isn't the intention there.
Celtic don't want to sell him, but I'm saying that there's forces at play in football these days that make it very difficult not to sell him.
But this is a different season, Mick. We're going over the same old ground. This is a different season. In virtually any other season, if it was three seasons ago, I'd get it. But you're just asking him to stay for a few months and then go with the blessing. Win the 10 and go with the blessing.
We've had enough, Hodgson. I'll be in a jetty, Chris. Or a yeti, I should say. Mm. Hitting the ground running in some style looks like a classy finisher. You're an ex-striker. Tell us what you like about him, what you see in him.
I think that he certainly knows where the goal is. I think that he's at this moment in time, I see a different player than Odson Edward, who has a far more rounded game. He's a better link man. I think Ayeti needs somebody to really feed him with the opportunities where Edward seems capable of, you know, turning, beating a man and scoring a different type of goal. But he looks to be a ruthless finisher, which is a really, really good sign because, you know, of course, the Lee Griffiths situation, it doesn't look like that's ever going to be resolved. So Celtic needed somebody like Ayeti. It's taken a hell of a long time to get up and running, in my view. But I thought his finish at the weekend was brilliant. And he seems to be really instinctive, and that's a good sign for Neil and Celtic. It's not Odson Edward.
I gave Chris the word on the striker, Michael, being an amateur football goalkeeper of some repute yourself. How do you feel, Vassilis Barkas has settled into Celtic? What do you make of Vassilis Barkas so far?
There's been a couple of goals I think you could have done better with, I must admit. I think the Ferencvaros, I thought he could have done better for that one. I thought he could have done better the second goal the weekend there. It was a bit of a worldie, but I thought maybe...
I'm being hypercritical.
I think he suffers from not being Fraser Forster. I think that's his problem. I think he's... it's not his fault he's not Fraser Forster. I think he's fine. I think he'll do a decent job for Celtic. I thought he played well. A couple of weeks ago, it was at Tannadice. I thought he played well. I think he's decent. I think he looks okay. He's early days. I think he said himself he's got to settle in, doesn't he? He's still got time to settle in. He's not quite there yet. So it will take him a bit of time. Goalies, it's hard for a goalie. Playing behind a new back four or back five or back three, whatever it is. So he's got all the tools. Actually, I think he's been maybe critical because he's not Fraser Forster, but it's a bit unfair on him because nobody really is, or very few are.
Can I add one thing to that, Michael, as well? You said that he's suffering, people are being critical because he's not Fraser Forster. The one area of the squad which Neil Lennon has spoken about needing to make an addition is the left-hand side, obviously, with Ballingolly gone and Johnny Hayes gone. Is there a situation where, in the eyes of some supporters, Greg Taylor has been made to suffer because he's not Kieran Tierney?
Without a doubt, yeah. I think we don't...
Criticism from people has been harsh, I would say.
People don't realise just how good Kieran Tierney is sometimes until after he's gone. I mean, I think he was taken for granted how good he was. I mean, he is absolute top drawer. I mean, we've seen it down south with Arsenal. End of last season, the start of this season, he's a terrific player. And Greg Taylor isn't Kieran Tierney. He can't be. Kieran Tierney is now playing the best league in the world, as some people would tell us.
You're being sarcastic there, Mick.
Oh, Chris, no, not at all. No, I like it. I think Greg does suffer from that a wee bit. He's a good little player, but he isn't that level. But no, very. I mean, certainly can't afford a player at that level.
What level is he then, Mick?
I think he's decent. I think Celtic could do with another left back, left sided kind of wing back, well, left back. I think Greg Taylor.
That's a demandingly physically position that going up and down the flank. So Celtic need another body in there, come what may. You can't ask the same guy to play 50 games. So they're going to need one.
It's making the decision to let Johnny Hayes go. Look more and more ridiculous as the weeks go by. Johnny Hayes wasn't an £85,000 a week. He wasn't a great burden to the wage structure at Celtic. It just seems bizarre, the whole situation. I still think that the jury is out on Greg Taylor. I get the arguments. I think I saw it, you know, last season. He doesn't have the ability when he's playing in the wing back role he doesn't have a trick. He he's not in a situation where he can really work half a yard on his own and whip a ball in. When he gets the ball actually put out to him and he has time to cross a ball in, his delivery is very good. And you'd have to say defensively, at times, could he be a little bit better? Could he work harder to stop crosses? Yes, he could. I think he's okay, but I think Celtic can do better. But I don't think he deserves the panning. And I think the panning of him is... you know, no doubt unhelpful, because he'll be aware of all this. And, I think Celtic fans should actually sort of understand the effect that it can have on players when they're getting a real panning. But that's the game. That's the level that, you know, you're at the big club. You have to cope with all these things.
I think he suffers a wee bit from the like I talked earlier on about the formation thing. I think he's actually better with a man in front of him. I think James Forrest in the left in front of him actually works better.
Does that not say everything though? You're sort of saying, well, he needs help.
I just think Celtic don't
want to be in a position where they have a fullback out there who, you know, needs help. You know, he needs to help the team, not the other way around.
Would you say
Andy Robertson's a better Liverpool player, Chris? We're a player in front of him.
I think Andy Robertson's...
I think a lot of people would. I'm just using that as an example. They talk about the Scotland situation and shoot Andy Robertson in, and they play him as wing-back or they play him one forward and it doesn't work.
I think Andy Robertson's a brilliant all-round footballer anyway.
Okay, enough looking back. Two games this week. Riga and Latvia on Thursday night in the third qualifying round of the Europa League, followed by a home game against Hibs on Sunday, where Celtic could go top of the league depending on what happens in the other game on Sunday involving Rangers. How do you see the games going, Chris? Obviously, I'll look at Riga first. You said it's dangerous. All ties in Europe are dangerous.
I know Mick thinks they're going to go over and win 12-0. But look, Celtic should go through. They always worry me, these one-leggers. They really worry me, because anything can happen. Bad refereeing decision, Celtic don't turn up, sloppy from a set piece, a misplaced back pass. Yeah, and we have done it. And for that reason, it's extremely dangerous. Should Celtic go through? Absolutely, they should go through. Are they good enough to go through? Yes, of course they are, but they need to go over and play strongly and cut out silly little errors. And, you know, if they do that, then I'm confident they'll go through where they play, who is it, Sarajevo, and what's the name of the other team? You're better at this than me.
Team from Podgorica.
Yeah. And, so I suppose, you know, if you're Neil Lennon, you're not looking any further than Riga. And then the home game against Hibs, interesting matchup. You know, we spoke about Greg Taylor. Well, he'll have a severe test against Martin Boyle, won't he?
Michael, Riga and Hibs.
Riga's unthinkable. Has to be a comfortable victory. Anything else would be, I mean, complete and utter disaster. I don't think it will be. I think it will be a comfortable night. I don't think Riga are going to be a particularly great challenge. I didn't think it did happen to be one of the worst results, if not the worst result in the club's history in Europe. So I just don't see it. I think it's awkward because one leg and it's, you know, the situation with no fans and all this kind of stuff. And it's a weird kind of time, which can throw us up some strange results sometimes, but it should be fairly comfortable. Hibs is tricky. I think Hibs is a harder game. They've been really impressive this season so far. I thought they were really good on Sunday there against Rangers. They've got this kind of Hibs soft centre they had for years. It seems to have gone. They've got a right good bit of dig about them now. So I think they're a significant challenge at the weekend. I think this is a real test for Celtic. Because Hibs, they've got a bit of bite and they've got some attacking players that can hurt you as well. So I think that's a real test this week.
Do you think, Mick, we're too dismissive at times of foreign teams?
Chris, if we can't beat a team from Latvia with a £60 million wage bill, then you should just chuck it.
So the likes of, for example, Livingston. So Livingston beaten Celtic and Rangers over the years and caused them problems. So what do you say about that then?
I think I still think Livingston would beat Riga.
Is that not the problem though? They're still not. All I'm saying is Celtic should win the game, but Riga aren't that bad. And in a one-off tie, anything can happen. Ferencváros weren't that bad. Everybody assumed Ferencváros have gone on. Did they beat Zagreb as well? Am I right in saying that? They beat someone else in the next round, didn't they?
They're clearly a step up from Riga, Chris. I don't think anybody would disagree.
I'm just saying. At times,
last year, and then they drew with Spartak Moscow, and they won in Moscow, I think. So they've got a bit of pedigree. Riga don't have any pedigree. That's like Aberdeen.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. I'll take you back to Ferencváros, and everybody's saying brilliant tie. It's going to be a walkover. It's going to be a stroll. That wasn't the case. All I'm saying is, I think we have to be really careful. European ties over the years that, I think being dismissive is especially dangerous, especially in one leg ties. And I'm not making excuses for Celtic because I totally agree with what Mick says. If they go out to Riga, then they'll get panned. But I'm saying from a player's perspective, at times you go over to these games and you can't win even when you win. I just think, alarm bells would be ringing because of what's at stake if I was a Celtic player, and the need to be really concentrated and perform strongly and win the game is, it has to happen. With that comes pressure. But I don't think we should be so dismissive about other countries all the time because, Scotland's got its own issues.
Yeah, we're not Latvia.
Israel.
Let's look at some good sides and they get the regular qualify for Europe. And do well in Europe. I just think a tie has to be won. It's unthinkable otherwise. And they will win. They will win the weekend. They will win on Thursday night.
Sutty and Michael Gannon's European football podcast will be available on Friday for all your Lord Nations. Guys, it's been a pleasure listening to you today. Do you think you'll be able to not bicker next week and give us a wee talk through the Riga and Hibs games?
I just said, do you know what though? On a serious note, I just don't like this. I don't like this acceptance that Odson Edouard can just leave, click his fingers and leave when he wants. I don't get it. And there seems to be, this seems to be snowballing that he's going to go because he can, and Celtic, and it will just happen, and Celtic will let him walk away for whatever fee and just take the money. That really angers me to think that the club are on the brink of something which has never been done before, and sometimes there's things which are more important than a fast buck, and this is one of those situations. And it's no great shakes for Odson Edouard to see out a few months, give it a go for Celtic. And do you know what? If they end up not getting the 10, at least they've tried to do it and done it in the right manner. I think a lot of fans wouldn't forgive the board if they sold Odson Edouard and Rangers stopped the 10. And do you know what? I totally understand that.
Chris, you are living proof that some things are more important and a fast buck by appearing on this podcast. So thank you for your time.
That's true, yeah.
Michael, thank you very much for...
Where can I find these fast bucks?
Yeah.
For sparring with Sutty.
Riga.
A pleasure to talk to both of you. Good luck for the rest of the week and for everyone listening. Thanks again for your time and good luck yourself.
Cheers.